This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
What do you got today?
I got a chicken breast with some carrots reheated, a little honey mustard. No bun.
No onion.
Why, do you smell onion?
No, I was I like onion.
Just reheated lunch, brought it in studio.
Is this straight chicken breast, Doug? Like,
no, it actually it rolled it in some panko and then fried it up in
air fryer or the saute?
No, it did it in a pan with a little olive oil. Pretty good.
Okay.
I got a tip here from a friend of the show. The Piston New City Edition jerseys. Friend of the show says, check out the old photos from the Bob Lanier and Dave Bing days. They had a dark blue away jersey with Detroit across the chest. Seems like they've incorporated that jersey as well to me. So we were discussing how it looks black, but as Kang made a very, I don't think it's just a different material. Cade in the picture that we tweeted out, the new City Edition jerseys that they'll wear next season. Cade's wearing an arm sleeve that looks way darker than the actual jersey. So I think he, friend of the show, might be right that it is a darker blue jersey with a little throwback to the teal era Pistons with the piping. The teal, yellow, and maroon that goes along like the collar of the jersey. I think it's a really good look. I would like to see the entirety of the shorts. There's like a stripe or a lightning bolt or whatever it is on the shorts.
It looks like lightning bolts.
Yeah, I'd like to see the how pronounced that is. Does the lightning bolt carry around to the back of the short? These things are important to me. But you can see for yourself at Dungator 971. Today, Gator at the Masters is the par three.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like golf is the sport that markets and can get away with because of the nature of the game. Get away with it. They do a good job of repurposing the game into miniature versions of the game, smaller versions of the game. Par three courses are popular.
Yes, they are.
I don't know if they're as popular as they once were, but they are popular.
They might be getting a little bit of a bump. I think Boyne is adding one now.
They've always had one. I think they're upgrading it.
Yeah.
The one that they had, are you talking about Boyne Highlands? Or Boyne Mountain.
I think it's Boyne Highlands.
Yeah, Boyne Highlands always had this like par three that was free out in front, like kind of start up the ski hill and wrapped around. But there wasn't much to it, and they didn't really take care of it. Now I think they're actually
sinking money into it. Yeah, they're marketing it, and you know, there's three tops at Tree Tops.
Yeah,
up north.
That's a pretty famous one.
But I think that this is going to be something that becomes a little bit more popular.
Yeah. So, but golf also has Top Golf, which is just basically target. It's a bar. It's a bar with golf target shooting.
Right.
It's what it is. That's really well done and become incredibly popular. Miniature golf.
Right. And then you got the simulators. You got 5-iron golf.
Yep.
X golf and stuff like that, which is also bar golf. You know, you got bars and restaurants that are part of it.
All these different things with golf. I don't know that any other sport has anything close to as many versions of its sport that can, like, I mean, I guess in some ways, like 3-on-3 basketball is a version of basketball. Half court basketball is a version of basketball. Is softball a version of baseball?
I mean, yeah. And flag football to football, sure, I guess. But is nowhere near as many versions as golf can offer.
No. And the thing about golf is some people like Top Golf, don't like golf. Some people like miniature golf, don't like golf. These are things that you can go do even if you don't really like the sport. To play the sport, I mean, you don't like, you don't go play the sport. You don't go play 18 holes, but you might go to Topgolf. You don't go play 18 holes, but you might go to miniature golf.
Do you like par threes as a golfer? Do you like par threes?
No.
Neither do I.
I do not like par threes.
Why don't you like par threes?
Don't know. When I get to a par three, I always think, damn.
I don't like them because I can never score well on them. It seems like I just spray the ball all over the place when I get to a par three, and I'm less apt to spray it on a par four or five.
So not being particularly skilled with the driver or the irons, it shouldn't really matter. It shouldn't really matter. But in fact, the par three, I guess, you're basically one shot away from having a birdie attempt, where in a par four, par five, you're multiple shots away from having a birdie attempt. So I should like them more.
It's interesting with the par three is that even though I don't typically like them, because I don't score well on them, sometimes they can be the most fun holes to play because of an elevation change. You can have, there are plenty of holes throughout the Metro Detroit and up north where you, it's like, oh my God, this thing's awesome. It's Sanctuary Lake in Troy. There's a par three, I think it's the eighth hole, where it's only like 145 yards, but it plays like it's 100 yards because you're 60 feet above.
Right.
Above the hole. You know, there's the hole at Hidden River. Is it the ninth at Hidden River? That's like that where you're
again, the bridge and, like the, and the water and the fly fisherman in the background.
Right. It's like 130 it's a great, yards.
It's like an artist rendering come to life. There is a bridge and there are frequently fly fishermen.
And the clubhouse is up there to your left.
Log
and
cabin. Like,
but those holes can be a lot of fun because of the change in elevation. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun, which makes it more of a target golf type thing, which goes back to, you know, what you said with Topgolf.
Yeah. So why when I get to a par three, and again, the Masters par three contest is today, why when I get to a par three do I say, oh, damn? And it makes no sense.
It makes very little sense because even
and
if
you don't like them either.
No, I don't. Because even if you bogey the hole, it's a four. And it feels like my score goes down because I can put a four on the scorecard.
Right. Yeah, and bogey golf is my goal.
Right. I'm happy shooting 90. I'm happy with that.
Yep. I think I've only broken 90 three times, all on the same course. Arthur Hills at Boyne Highlands.
That's
89, 89, 88.
If you're going to break 90 on a course, that's a good course to break.
Well, 90.
But they have like six different sets of tees, and that helps out.
Yes, it does. There's so many courses that I love that are just categorically, I think, unfair for a bad golfer, which means it doesn't mean they're unfair. They're unfair for me because it's asking me to make too many shots that I'm probably not capable of making.
Which is why you need the sets of tees so that you can make it.
Well, that helps a lot. And I read in Golf Magazine once that the biggest problem with golf and slow golf and golf in general is mostly guys don't play the right sets of tees. Move up, guys.
That's correct.
Move up. It'll go faster. You'll score better. There's no stop attaching manlyhood to playing the tips when you don't play well enough.
But and your legs won't chafe when the skirt allows the wind to go.
Oh, so. Look at you! Why? Why?
Because that's why'd what somebody would say. I'm joking. I think it's smart. I think it's very smart to play to your strengths.
Move up, guys. All right. So the Detroit Tigers are 7-1 since the season opening over in L.A. against the Dodgers to start the season. I for those that have been skeptical, are they winning you over? Is there parts of this that feel sustainable? And I think there are absolutely parts of this that are not only feel sustainable, they are sustainable, which is why I think the Tigers are going to win the American League Central. And I've been chesty about this team all season long. And now wait till they play the Yankees crowd. Hey, are you impressed? I know it's only two games, but look, I mean, guys, we make early calls, right? This is, you make an early call. The earlier you call it, the more street cred you have. Is the person that wanted them to see what they did against the Yankees on board, even after just two games? 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson here on a Wednesday Tiger Baseball this afternoon as they go for the sweep. 97-1, the ticket.
I tell you what, green grass is awesome to look at. You talk about the baseball stadiums and look at how awesome the green grass is there. You can have it too. You just got to take care of it. And the first step is calling the right people, like Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service, where you get green and stay green with Natural Way. 888-GET-GREEN is a telephone number, or go to naturalwaylawn.com. And for a limited time only, you know the drill. You purchase a full lawn program and you get free grub control, but you mention my name, Gator, and a station's 97.1 The Ticket. You don't want crabgrass. You don't want to see dandelions. You don't want any kind of weeds. Spray for them early. In fact, that first application is the most important when it comes to prevention of crabgrass, and you want to control that stuff. You see it in the summertime, it's too late, frankly, to treat for it, so take care of it right now. Natural Way uses fewer chemicals, environmentally sound practices. They've been a locally owned company for about 35 years. I've worked with my lawn for almost a dozen years now. I couldn't be happier. They offer the 100% satisfaction guarantee, and each lawn is assigned its own specialist. So that's right. They send guys out or gals out. They're certified applicators and arborists that'll custom tailor a solution specifically for your yard in your home. Give them a call today, 888-GET-GREEN, or go to naturalwaylawn.com.
Get back to the Tigers in a moment. I want to ask you about NHL Rule 9.6. Your thoughts on NHL Rule 9.6, which addresses helmet regulations. If a player's helmet comes off, they are responsible for immediately either, one, retrieving and properly replacing the helmet with or without the chin strap fastened, and two, exiting the playing surface. Penalty for failure. If a player fails to take immediate action, they will be assessed a two-minute minor penalty. No delay. There is no allowance for a player to continue playing on the ice without a helmet. Scott Anderson, I think this should get looked at after what happened last night. It is a completely separate subject from where this organization is, what should happen. His helmet comes off. And for people who missed it, Albert Johansson behind the net, there's a scrum. His helmet pops off. And was it Josh? Who's the player that scored the goal?
Was it Anderson?
Josh Anderson. Thank you. I'd remember that.
Yeah, you'd think.
Josh Anderson's behind the net with him. They both go out in front of the net. Johansson's helmet is a stride away. He strides over, grabs the helmet, but leaves Josh Anderson open in front of the net, who then receives a pass and knocks it in for the go-ahead goal, which goes a long way towards ending the Red Wings playoff hopes. I hope this gets looked at. Player safety is very important, and I take it very seriously. However, it cost the Red Wings a goal last night, and it was like the kill shot goal of the season. And it's a total aside to whether or not, you know, because the Red Wings could benefit from that just as easily as they, you know, were hurt by it last night. But does the rule make sense?
In terms of player safety, I understand why the rule is in there.
Yep.
If they accept the rule, they accept the rule. I mean, as a fan, because I'm not the one who's out there risking my noggin. So as a fan, I can sit back and say whatever I want on it, right?
Yep.
I don't like it. You know, this is a league that used to play without helmets, and now they obviously require you to wear a helmet. Most players have shields as well. I think what this will do is maybe reinforce the point that you have to have that chin strap on nice and tight so the helmet will not come flying off, even on a minor collision behind the net, because that's what it looked like. Because I wanted to see, wait, what, is it possible the Montreal player, you know, deliberately brushed him to knock the helmet off? And of course, that wasn't the case. It just doesn't happen. Doesn't happen often, I imagine. So I don't love the rule. No, I understand why it's in there, but it seems pretty punitive. You know, you've got to make a split second decision to pick up the helmet or get off the ice. And either way, you're hurting your team. And if you decide to keep playing, you hurt your team as well, because then they're going to blow the whistle and call a delay of game penalty on you.
There's last night, of the options, there was no good outcome for the Wings. They were either going to give up a penalty on a power play late in a 1-1 game. They were going to be a man down while he skated off and somebody else skated on. Or what happened, happened. There's like no great answer there. 248-539-9797. Nathan and Warren. Hi, Nathan.
Hey, fellas. First and foremost, before I get to the penalty itself, or the rule, I should say, I hope every single Red Wing went to Gustafson last night and beat him with a sock full of soap, because you never leave your goalie out to dry like that. You take the penalty if it comes. You never, ever, ever leave your guy like hung out to dry like that. That was terrible.
Is that just something Nathan, is that just something you believe in, or is that something that's coached?
I mean, you can coach it, but I mean, that's an instinct play. Instinctively, as a defenseman, you never leave your goalie out to dry like that. Never.
You take the penalty.
This is just one of the dumbest things I have ever seen in a hockey game.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand. First of all, he's a rookie. I hope nobody beat him with a sock full of soap. Secondly is, I think his instinct was, I can just grab it real quick.
It's right there.
Leaving the ice, you have three options. Leaving the ice, I'd have to skate past it, so that makes no sense. It's better if I go get it, it's way quicker than leaving the ice and getting somebody else on the ice. And you really don't want to take a penalty.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. The rule itself is overly punitive. But, like I said, it's an instinctive thing. The guy goes to the front of the net and you skate away from him and leave him in front of your goalie. You just don't do that. You don't. I don't care if you're a rookie in Pee Wee or wherever you're playing hockey. That's something, as a defenseman, you are taught to never do.
Yeah. I mean, when you're taught, are you taught about, like, what does the league teach you? What does the coaches teach you about losing your helmet?
It's a different helmet you're playing with, too.
I mean, obviously, this team is obviously lacking in a lot of areas, so I don't want to add to another thing that they need to be taught how to do on the ice, but Jesus, man. Like, a defenseman leaving a guy in front of the goalie like that, just absolutely asinine.
I guess let's be fair. These are weird circumstances.
I think it's easier to say.
I appreciate that you have an incredibly high standard, my man, but let's...
I didn't like it.
I didn't like him leaving him either.
No one likes the result.
But here's the thing. There were no options that weren't punitive. They were all punitive. Skating off the ice and getting somebody else on takes way too long. Taking a penalty with, what was it, 6 minutes to go, 8 minutes to go, whatever it was in the game, would have sucked also. Like,
and I think it's different. If he's talking about, you know, you're taught is way young. Never, of course, you're not supposed to leave the goaltender, but the circumstances, your helmet came off. And there's a rule that says you have to do one of a couple things. When you're younger, you're wearing full cages as helmets, right? Those things aren't coming off.
No, they aren't.
This is a chin strap.
Yeah, I don't think my helmet has ever come off.
So it's a different situation when you're in the NHL. Now, I don't know what Todd McClellan and his staff are teaching the players after the game. Do they say, you can't ever do that again. Let's take the penalty. Or are they like, hey, man, that's a tough spot. What are we supposed to do?
I would say this. The only thing that I think is close to unforgivable, I'm not as mad about it as Nathan is if the helmet wasn't properly secured and you make yourself prone to this kind of thing happening. But, hey, 248-539-9797.
It's strange, right? But the NHL has a concussion problem. At least they had in the past.
Yeah.
And they do not want their players to risk that injury. It's interesting when you compare and contrast that with the NFL. In the NFL, if a guy's helmet comes off, the play is blown dead, or if the player continues to play without the helmet, it's a penalty, right?
Yeah.
It's just different ways to interpret a rule that's trying to benefit the player and his safety.
248-539-9797. Mike, you're next. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
Hey, I'm an ice hockey referee. I do high school and college and junior, and we have that same rule, and it's just unfortunate that it was timing. You know, I mean, 9 times out of 10, a goal is not scored. But for player safety, that's what they're supposed to do. Matter of fact, in high school, they came out with a new rule about neck guards. It's the same thing. You know, if the neck guard falls off, the player has to pick it up or go directly to the bench. And then we had a question, what if the player's on a breakaway? Are you going to blow the whistle down if he's on a breakaway? But it's about player safety, and they have to follow the rules.
Yeah, it's kind of tough, Mike, because I just started thinking about, you know, my kid, my oldest played hockey, and if my son lost his helmet in a game, would I want him to go put it on because that's what the rule makes him do? And the answer as a father is 1,000 times yes. Now, as a professional athlete, things are different. You're aware of the risks, but it is a league that has had concussion problems. There's a lot of sensitivity to CTE, and they're trying to cut down on that. It's what happened last night, quite frankly, was unbelievable. And I'm not making excuses for where the Red Wings organization is. We spent the entire first hour evaluating where they are and what they need to do and whether or not Yzerman should be the man making the call. It's pretty incredible that this rule, this situation happened last night. It's really unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, I'm a Wings fan. I'm bummed out about it, but it's a tough call. You could be on both sides. But you know what? If he entered the play and something happened where stick whacked him in the head or he got slew-footed and he ended up cracking his head on the ice, I mean, then where? Then where are we at?
Yeah. Thank you for the phone call, Mike. 248-539-9797.
I think it's just an impossible situation. And it's easy to say afterwards, just take the penalty.
Well, look, I mean, if you take the penalty and they give up the power play, then Nathan and Warren is calling up saying, you just go get the helmet. It's one stride away. You can't give up a power play there. You can't.
I don't know if he would, but he seemed pretty adamant about it.
It's Carson Anderson. Let's get to some Tiger stuff leading into Tiger baseball this afternoon as they take on the Yankees. Tigers going for the sweep. We'll talk some Tigers next. Hey, Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. They are the law firm that puts people over everything. An example of that is the fact that they will call you back and they take on fewer cases. All right, they'll call you back because proactive communication is super important to them. They return all phone calls within 24 hours. You will get a call back from them. And the fewer cases thing, that formula, they do it on purpose because they get faster and larger settlements for their clients. Michigan Auto Law is the law firm that puts people over everything. Visit autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97 on the ticket. All right, feedback coming into the Carson Anderson inbox. People are pumped about the Tigers. I'm impressed with how they started, but I'm not going to fully buy in to this. I'm not going to fully buy in that this is who they are until they sustain it for longer. So I guess is 2.5 months long enough? Because that's how I see this as. August, September, April. I get that things change from season to seasons and there are subtleties and there are big differences. Boy, this looks a lot like the baseball team that played in August and September. It does to me. So I'm comfortable making what is on the calendar a ridiculously early call. Got it. But for the sustain it longer crowd, I guess I have two thoughts on they got to do it longer before I buy in. Do you just simply not believe in any carryover from one season to the next? Is question one. Question two is, do you think last year was a fluke? Because if you think last year was a fluke, I could see why a continuing the season and playing the way they're playing wouldn't move the needle for you. I don't think last year was a fluke.
I don't think it was a fluke either.
I think they are strategically a tough matchup.
I think the fluky part of last year was how they were able to win. It's a fluke to me that you're going to be able to do what they did for that long with pitching chaos. That's
fluky
to me.
Because pitching chaos isn't part of this Tiger team.
No, it's not because they have the rotation here. They have good players. I don't know if they have great players other than Scoobal, but they have good players. And this is a team that plays sound baseball. They do what you're supposed to do, hit the cutoff man, play well enough defensively. We think there's some holes right now, but they'll be filled in when other guys get healthy. But in the meantime, this team's actually mashing the ball a little bit. I mean, they had four solo home runs yesterday.
Yep.
They're kind of, you know, flexing their arms a little bit.
So if you don't believe in carryover from one season to the next, that's fine. Okay, I do. But I don't think it's a hard and fast rule that everything carries over or nothing carries over. I just think doesn't this look a lot like the August and September Tigers? Kevin in Ann Arbor says, good day to you guys. I am so fired up for this team. I know it's April, but how could you not be extremely optimistic? Couldn't wait for the show to hear all your reactions to the Tigers shutout yesterday. Amazing, we only needed one reliever to get through 7, 8, and 9. Is AJ a baseball demigod? So pumped for today's game. Let's go, Flaherty. It is pretty, like, I mean, a headliner yesterday is Scoobal. The sub-headlines are four home runs. The sub-sub-headline is Herter coming in and working his way through three innings. I mean, there was a lot that went right yesterday, but Herter mowed down the Yankees with three innings, two hits, one walk, three strikeouts.
Yeah, look, five-run deficit is not insurmountable.
Nope.
The Yankees, you're probably bringing a giant sigh of relief that Scoobal was out of the game. Here you go. You got
three innings.
Yeah, you got three innings worth, nine outs worth to show what you can do for a team that got off to such a great offensive start. Here they come. Not so much. Not so much.
Coop at Work says, just think of how many home runs the Tigers would have hit if they were borrowing the New York Yankees torpedo bats.
I think the torpedo bat thing is interesting. I would love to feel the difference between a torpedo bat and a regular baseball bat. Is there a difference with how it feels when you swing because the weight is distributed differently?
Mm-hmm. Well, they're probably not for everybody. Right? I mean, everybody's swing is different.
Not every Yankee is using them. They only have like a handful of Yankees are using them. And Judge isn't one of them.
One main thing I've noticed with this team is confident. So, yeah, I mean, did they come out of the gate confident? I guess 0-3 didn't rattle them. That's pretty clear. You know what else? Another big part of what I keep watching for, I keep watching Torkelson the next day. What does he do the day after he goes 0-4? Which I think he's done twice this year, and he's bounced back both times. Let me just double check this. My instinct says it was twice this year he's followed up an 0-4 with a good game. He went 0-4 last Wednesday against the Mariners, came back, went 1-3 against the White Sox the next day with a walk. He went 0-4 against the Yankees Monday, came back and went 2-4 with a home run and a double. So his bounce back after 2-0-4s, he is 3-7 with a double, a home run, and a walk. 3-7, double home run and a walk. I like that a lot, Scott Anderson.
I like it too. Showing that ability to bounce back, and he has, and the power that he has is unquestionable. There's a reason that every team in baseball would have selected him first overall in that draft. It was based on that power potential that he showed in college, and unfortunately, it was a shortened season that year. But he's got it, and we saw it on display. I still can't believe that ball went over the fence at 408 feet in left center field. Looked like it was just going to be a gap shot. Go off the wall, maybe reach the wall.
Next text, I'm excited where the Tigers are. They're going in the right direction. Their pitching will win them a lot of games. The offense could be dangerous. Mize and Torque are like signing two free agents. My only concern is the infield defense and center field while Parker Meadows is out. Those are things that could cost them. You know, the thing is, and I remember doing this back when the Tigers, like the 05 to 2015 Tigers, whatever that stretch was, where better part of a decade, we were always talking about competing for a World Series. Even those teams were flawed. It felt like every year was the bullpen. But we talked about striving for a perfect team. You strive to be the perfect team. Everybody has things that probably makes their fan base uncomfortable.
Oh, 100%.
And so this guy's concerns, I think they're legit. I'm concerned about the infield defense. I'm concerned about the injuries. Hell, I'm concerned about losing Jake Rogers, upsetting, you know, the catcher rotation that they've had in place.
I have levels of concern. And so far, none of my levels of concern are getting out of whack or getting to the point like, hey, that over there. I'm not there.
Okay.
If this proves out to be something where the level of concern rises, then we can address it. But right now, they've got solutions. You can put Riley Green in the center field. You know, Trey Sweeney's playing just fine at shortstop. And having third base, whether it's manned by Ibanez or Javi Baez, you know, both players have made some plays over there. It's less of a concern. Watching Colt Keith now back at second base because Torkelson's at first, you got a better first baseman. And I don't know if Colt Keith is an upgrade or a downgrade from Gleyber Torres at second base while he's out with an injury. But, you know, that's a little bit of a level of concern. That's what we saw the other day when he, you know, kind of booted the ball and then threw it to God knows where, when probably just should have just held on to the baseball. But nonetheless, it's a work in progress with him, and I'm not freaking out about it.
So if you look at just on the surface, okay, how surprised should we be that the Tigers have defeated the Yankees in the first two games? Well, is Mize better than Carlos Rodon right now? I think you could say that Skubal is definitely better than Holmes. They started yesterday.
Carrasco,
thank you. I mean, today is Flaherty versus Max Fried.
High school teammates.
Yeah.
Can you imagine facing that in high school? What?
Decent staff. Fried's really good, but so's Flaherty.
Yep.
I mean, the most important part of a matchup is your starting pitcher, and I don't think the Tigers, they've either won it or not, or been arguably as good as. I mean, it depends a lot on who Mize is. Who Mize is right now, let's face it, who Mize is right now is really freaking good.
Yes.
That's who he is right now.
Which I like. I like this version of Casey Mize. I like this version very much, and I hope that he stays healthy, because I think a healthy Casey Mize, this is maybe not every start to see like what he's been, but I think you go back to his rookie season when he had like a 3.7 earned run average. And it was all this, okay, we feel very confident this is going to be a guy. And then he suffers arm injuries and has setback after setback. Now he's back to being healthy. And if he stays that way, maybe he can be much more consistent and be a guy who's got a ERA in the low threes or high twos.
I have an idea, too, something I think we should explore a little bit, maybe develop as a topic. And that is, how about a Detroit team has some luck with injuries?
That'd be nice.
How about that?
That'd look good.
Tiger baseball is coming up next. We'll have plenty to talk about with this team tomorrow as they go for the sweep against the Yankees today. Stay safe. Treat each other with respect. 97.1.
Hey, I got some great news for you. I think that weather is finally going to change here. We're going to get the warm weather around the corner. So that means those red, white, and blue trucks that are everywhere, well, they're from the experts over at Birmingham Plumbing and Heating and Cooling, and they're going to help make sure that your HVAC and your